Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Survivors, welcome to episode 85 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
So we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 2, titled 6 Hours, and some coverage of The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 4, Family is a Four-Letter Word. But first, we have some feedback from our last podcast, and it comes from Renee, our favorite, one of our favorite voicemails. People. And I will go ahead and play it now.
Hi, guys. This is Renee. You know, I told you I love calling in. And when I listened to you guys today, I did not realize that I have never rated you guys on iTunes. So I went in, and of course, you got a 5. If I could have rated a 10, I would have, because you guys are my favorite podcasters ever. So, Dieta, girl, you need to go on there and give them a 5-star review. Glennis, Alma, you know, guys, go on there, because I didn't realize how important that is to get reviews like that. And, yeah, you guys going to give them a review, and I'm going to, of course, leave my feedback. But, of course, I enjoyed you guys today as well. When y'all broke it out, I was a little jelly, though, because my feedback didn't get in because I was too late. So all you guys did was play my voicemail. So I was feeling a little something. I was in my feelings. I'm not going to tell a tale. I was in my feelings, but I understand that I got it in late, but I'm definitely going to get it in this evening. Just want to call in to tell you guys that you rock. I love you guys so much. You are my favorite. I mean, just the interaction, I just love it. I really do. I love how you guys break it down. And I love the fact that you all are not as hard as so many of the other podcasters out there. Because I do believe, I feel like Fear is a really good show. I enjoy Fear. And I'm loving the fact that it's an apocalypse, but it really looks like an apocalypse. It looks like, you know, Mad Max. Which, you know, I love shows like that. I love movies like that. I love anything that has that look. The Book of Eli with Denzel, I like that. So I feel like Fear has, you know, it's promising. It's going to be good. The World Beyond, I'm not sure. I mean, they're going to have to tie it all together because it's. I'm like you guys. It seems like the CW, like Hope. And her little boyfriend, Iris, and her little boyfriend kissed the other night. And it definitely seems as if, I forgot the one, Corver guy, him and the little girl, they got a little connection. So, yeah, it does seem like the CW. Even though I did enjoy the 100 on the CW. I love that. But, okay, of course, I'm going to always ramble. That's what I do. But just wanted to call in. All right, okay, love you guys. Bye.
Yay! Thank you, Renee. Thank you so much for bringing up the feedback or leaving that on iTunes, because it really, really does help. And plus, you know, we like to hear from all you guys that like have been with us for so long, and we love all your feedback, and we love your part of the show, and, you know, we can't do this without you. So thank you so much.
I mean, what can be said about that voicemail? We love you, too.
Yes.
That's first thing I want to say, we love you too. And it's not just, you know, we love getting that feedback, but we also want to say that we love all of you listeners for listening to us. And even the ones that we don't hear from.
Yes.
We love knowing that you're out there listening to us. So, you know, say hello. even if you're shy, you know, just thank you for being out there. But those that we do hear from a lot, we especially want to thank you. And you know, we hear from Renee, we hear from Dieta, and boy, do we hear from Dieta this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. She's going to have a whole entire section of this podcast dedicated to her. But, and that's in love. I say that. But anyway, thank you so much. We appreciate it so much.
Yes.
And I'll just say, as somebody who was on the other side of the microphone for quite some time, just send us an email. You don't have to do a lot of feedback. Just let us know you're out there. That would be, you know, incredibly wonderful if we could, you know, just like I said, you don't have to do a lot of feedback. You don't have to go on the Facebook. Just drop us an email and say, you know, hey, faithful listener, enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say that too. Just knowing that you're out there is, you know, warms the heart enough.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, there have been weeks that we've had lots of feedback, and there's weeks where we don't have much feedback at all.
Yeah.
And yeah, we enjoy doing it, but it's just a little reinforcement for us knowing that we're not just talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, and he doesn't know that I'm going to say this, but I got some feedback today. LT, they were saying how good it is to listen to you every week and how much of a joy it is to hear your voice. And I got to say, you know, you've been a wonderful addition to this podcast and to the network in general. So just, you know, kudos.
Yep.
Well, thanks, guys. And I mean, I've appreciated the fact that you took me in and gave me a place to do my thing.
Yep.
Nope. Always appreciated, and we love it. Well, what was Renee says besides, you know, giving us great ratings and encouraging others too? Like, you know, it's nice to hear. It's like, yeah, we're not maybe as harsh as some other podcasts. Not to say that we don't have, like, you know, we'll air our, you know, grievances on some of the things. but no, it's like, I'm glad. Yes. So, you know, that's definitely, I'm glad to hear that, you know, coming from her. It's like, you know, we try to, like, you know, well, we discuss the show as how we see it and how we're enjoying it. And, you know, it's not perfect, but, you know, it's still within our Walking Dead universe that we love. So it's, you know, it's why we like to, you know, podcast about it.
I mean, it's worth saying that I've been hearing some of the podcasts lately, and they're just like really, really tough on the shows. And I don't know. It's like, I don't see it. I just don't, mm-hmm. I just don't see it. They're not perfect. There are things that they could be doing, and we've certainly criticized, especially Fear, at times, but right now I like the show. You know,
yeah, I'm going to go into, like, this episode was not my favorite, and I'm kind of a little bit harsh, but I'm not, you know, it's not that I'm like, oh, I think the whole show is that way. I just think this episode didn't work for me. So I'll get into that later. But overall though, it's like, I like the show, you know, it's like, I enjoy, you know, the things that they've done. So it's, you know, it's, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I can be critical at some things, and we have been, and this is going to be a rare time where I'm like, I kind of felt like I just didn't really want this to even, like, I didn't even want to watch this episode. It was just like, I could do without it. I'm ready for the next one, you know, kind of thing.
And I think we'll definitely call it, you know, if they play a weak hand or they do something that we think silly, we'll call them on it.
Yep.
But we'll also give them credit for things they do right. And I think that's something that, you know, it's easy to hit on the bad points and not say anything good about it when there are a few redeeming qualities in this episode. It wasn't my favorite, but I don't think I disliked it as much as you did, Kyle. And I will always point the finger and laugh at things they do that make me go, I think not. But for the most part, I try to look at it, you know, not just point by point, but look at the totality of it as well. And was this my favorite episode? No. Do I think it sucked? No. There's, as always, there's a few head scratchers, but, you know, for the most part, I think they're doing better overall, I would say, than they've done in the past, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that I'm noticing is that a lot of the podcasts that I've been mostly in alignment with over the years, I'm finding a fork in the road, I guess, between my opinions and their opinions, because they've gotten to a point where they're hating on the show so much that they're just not giving it any credit for anything positive that it's doing. Right. And I'm sorry, there's a lot positive, like the scene at the beginning. Well, okay. I'll hold my cards back right now, but,
okay.
But, you know, there were some things that I really enjoyed in this episode. So, We'll get into it when the time comes.
Well, and like I've said before, I listen to several other Walking Dead podcasts, but I don't listen to anybody before we record.
Yeah,
same here.
And that's just for my peace of mind. And if we end up agreeing with someone else, then it's because we were of a like mind that I try not to color my thoughts beforehand by listening to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I'm like, I don't really listen to very many Walking Dead podcasts, especially before I record. And like, you know, I'm like, I kind of want to take it from like, this is just my, you know, how I feel and what I was thinking or like how I reacted to it. And I don't want like stuff to kind of be influencing that just because, you know, whatever.
In my case, sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't. I will give credit if I don't. If I do listen to another podcast, I will like say I listen to these people and they may brought up a good point. Because I like to give the most thought out opinion, and if it includes thoughts from other people, then great. But I'll say lately, the negativity that I've been feeling has made me also diverge from that action. I'm just not listening to those podcasts until after we record as well. So I'm kind of following what you guys are doing, because when they're bringing up all this negativity, it just spoils things for me because I'm not feeling it, you know? So.
Yep. Agree.
Completely. And two, it's bad enough that I'm having to, you know, duck and dodge on YouTube.
Yeah.
That there are several people who are in the same boat that you are. I guess they're AMC Plus people and they're posting stuff ahead of the broadcast. I want to avoid spoilers as much as possible, even if I know it's coming. Some of them are subtle and some of them are less so.
there's one big YouTuber that has been, you know, going on for, you know, many seasons, who has been putting out episodes about the episodes as they go through AMC Plus. So he's an entire week ahead. And I find that irresponsible. It's just irresponsible. You shouldn't do that, because there's a lot of people, especially, you know, in overseas, you know, outside of the US and Canada, they don't get AMC Plus. They can't get AMC Plus. So You know, airing it, you know, airing what happened in the next episode, like an entire week ahead, that's just irresponsible. It's just, I don't like that. But anyway, it's Blaine time, I think.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, let's continue because Renee did give her feedback for last week's episode and just didn't make it in time before we recorded. So I'll just go through her email or her feedback from last week. And she gave last week a 6 out of 10. What the hell, Strand? I rolled. Her awesome sauce was, it looks like a true apocalypse with everyone walking around with their masks on. It reminded me of Mad Max or the Book of Eli. If we don't get COVID under control, we could end up looking like a wasteland. Shrug. Sad sauce was Strand pushing Will over the top of the tower. Like, what the hell, Strand? I always knew you had issues, but even that was a bit much for you. Yep. Poor Will. One episode, Will. Her what sauce was, just when I thought the walkers couldn't get any more disgusting, throw up face, here comes the radioactive but booty naked walkers. Nice. And her feedback, Strand is a low down dirty dog. He has been that way from the beginning, but I really thought Alicia would have softened him up. But I should have known, once a snake, always a snake. He had the nerve to say he can't love anyone if he wants to keep his community safe. His community, dictator mentality. You always know a dictator because they love to say mine and my. I cannot wait until Morgan, or better yet, Alicia, kills that ass. Strand has and always will be about self. I'm like Deanna Patterson. Ain't no redemption for him. This episode was okay. I need them to pick up the pace and not take forever to show the showdown between Strand and Morgan. Brian, what you said about Michonne made sense. I don't think it's about race either, but because she's black female, I was all in my feelings. But truth be told, it would have been Rosita or Maggie leaving their kids. I would have just been just as upset. I'm glad you guys addressed it. That's why you guys are my favorite podcasters. Heart emoji.
Thank you.
Yep.
But yeah, we understood that.
Yeah.
It's the story or the concept of it. Despite, you know, race, it's wrong. It's weak to send her off like that. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic to me. So,
yep. And then she gave some the World Beyond feedback. And she said, I was happy to see Elton and Percy. I didn't understand the young girl putting the flowers in the walker's eyes and praying over them. At least that's what I think they were doing. I'm not really sure what's up with the art people, but they seem a little sus to me. I want this show to pick up the pace too, because truthfully, I was falling asleep. 10 p.m. is past my bedtime, so I felt it kind of hard to stay up for a show I'm not really invested in. Overall, decent episode, I guess. Facepalm. I didn't like that episode.
Yeah, it was very much, you know, it's like I said last week, it was really feeling the CW again.
Yep.
And, you know, I felt that again this week, but not as much.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Renee, for the feedback. And like I said before, like, just get it in, you know, we will cover it. So if it's past deadline, and luckily this week there was a little pushed already instant, you know, postponement because I had a scheduling issue, but yeah, just get it in no matter what and we will cover it. All right, well, that was that. And next we have some feedback from last week's from Aaron from the internet. LT, you want to take this, or Brian?
Aaron says he's a part of the show but not present. Brian is the new Alicia, lol.
I was kind of in and out last week.
Yeah. Is he a good guy or a bad guy? He's Strand. He can do both. Smiley face. There's two versions of the series. With Madison, good years. And without Madison, quality varies episode to episode, much less season to season. She says, no Al, no Alicia, no Strand if they kill him, and no Madison. I'd be free of the series. I'd miss you guys as a listener, but I wouldn't have to suffer the Morgan hour anymore, which would be nice. It's nuclear-powered sunlight now through... though, Kyle. It's Sun Plus. Us, but logic. Fear. Logic. Ha! Huh.
Sun Plus.
And she says, Strandians claps to LT. Thank you. She goes on to say, I don't think they'd be too happy if you tried to put a large bag over their head. Lol, because facts, LT. I took Padre as father, so Alicia is like her father left her in case Strand came looking for her. It's like saying, you abandoned me and now I'm all alone. This interpretation really hit me for the feels because Alicia and Coleman are the last consistent OGs, not the last of the originals because Daniel is still around, but we don't see Reuben really at all anymore. So it's like the last one standing and they're apart. And yeah, a nice emotional moment to this original Fear fan. It could be a clue to her next location, but I also took it to mean father had and left her. Strand was her rock after Madison and Alicia. Strand was her rock after Madison, and Alicia does treat him more like a dad than she ever did Travis. She goes on to say, how do you get back up a zip line? Slowly, winky face. Oh, Kyle, of course it's about Morgan still. Did you think this was still OG Fear? Huh, maybe. If it was more about Alicia, the last member of the Clark family, which the series started with, then we'd still have Alicia. But since we're focusing on Morgan, of course she's going to walk. Frowny face.
Yeah. And I am going to say later of some stuff that I think maybe I'm on board with you mm-hmm. about Morgan.
She says, pass on more Will. I think she wanted to sacrifice herself and Will saved her, which in her mind made things worse for Moore. So it's like he wasn't willing to do what was needed to be done for the good of the majority, so she couldn't trust him. I think he's blowing some of it out of proportion, but yeah, I think Alicia told him to let her die and he didn't. Love the feedback, Renee. Disagree about Strand, but I feel you. He's your Morgan now. I will take Daniel killing Strand, Alicia doing it, or some elaborate plan blowing him up, but never Morgan killing him. Morgan has taken enough originals off. Thank you.
thank you, Aaron. I just quickly will say, like, yeah, I'm starting to have kind of a Morgan issue now myself. So, and we'll go into that later. All right. Well, that was all our feedback from last week's episode. So let's go into this week. And this week, Fear the Walking Dead season 7, episode 2, titled 6 Hours, written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, directed by Michael Yiannopoulos. And the description is Morgan and Grace must leave the safety of the submarine to face life outside. All right. Well, let's go into our ratings. I guess I'll just go and start with mine. And this is where I don't know. I'll go into it like later with some of my watch, or I think I put in my weeks. But like after my first watch, like I felt like I was like, this was like, I mean, this might be drastic. I my most hated episode. Which I don't think I really, you know, should say that. It just was my probably the most disliked episode I think I've had in a long time. So I gave it 3 Fred just kill the baby already.
No parental rights to you, Kyle.
Yes, not in the ZA. Don't. But then I was like, after my rewatch, I mean, I did give it a better score. I mean, it's not great, but I give it 6 beta burns on the face out of 10. And I don't know, I just, for some reason, I felt like I could just done without this episode, or I almost kind of like just this episode's plot or whatever. I should have been something else. I don't know. I really did not like it, and I didn't care for it. I just kind of wanted to move on and be like, okay, what's next week? Brian, what'd you give it?
I think LT should go next.
Okay. LT.
Okay. Well, I was sort of on the bus with you, not so hard, but I gave it 6 out of 10 apocalypse pintos.
The reason why I said LT, you should go next is because I'm not on board with you guys. I'm almost ashamed of it at this point because I'm going to have to justify this. I give it a 9. And since we've had so many eye traumas in the Star Trek universe, I'm going to give it 9 nose traumas. I really enjoyed it. And I'm kind of, it seems like everyone else seems to be negative on it. And I did hear a little piece of one of the other podcasts, but after about 2 minutes of listening to them, I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, not no, sorry.
Hey, yeah, it's no sorry's needed. It's just, yeah. It is what it is. And, you know, I don't know. We'll go on. We'll discuss more. Maybe I'll come around.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our ratings. So we had one listener's rating that came from Renee, and she gave it a 6 out of 10. I really wanted to see the Walker baby. Shrug, shrug.
As all of us wanted to see the Walker baby.
Yep. Just, I guess they just, yeah, it was easier just to have the bag move.
You know, we definitely wanted to see that, but oh well.
And Morgan did shoot it. So
yes, he did.
So I'm not the only one that was like killing a baby, even though it was a Walker baby. All right. Well, that was all our listeners' ratings for this week. So let's get into our awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. And we got our awesome sauce from Renee, and she says, "Love that it looked like a true apocalypse." Yep, sepia tone.
Oh yeah.
Since I wrote the most, or do you guys want to go first? Or I guess I'll just go down the list.
Well, I can go first since I really had the least listed as awesome.
Yep. LT, give us your awesome sauce.
As much as I'm going to call her behaviors into question later, I'm going to say my awesome sauce is Grace and her performance in this episode.
I agree. I definitely agree with that.
She definitely had some scenes where she emoted the desperation of their situation. And I think the one thing that we don't get much in any of the shows is people reacting emotionally at just how crappy things are. And I mean, we've seen little snippets of it, but it finally took a little thermonuclear action to get that sense of true desperation. I'm gonna have to talk about her a little bit later in the weeks and whats, just because. But that scene after she got out of the convenience store and she's walking, echoing the words from Morgan, "I'm right here," and just having her walk through that dust storm screaming, kind of got me in the feels a little bit. Her dealing with the crying baby. I have to say, as a parent who's had situations with crying babies, I know how that is. I think Morgan held up probably better than she did, but that can be traumatic in itself. On top of the desperate situation they were in with everything else, it just added to that feeling of, you know, angst and drama. And later in the episode, when she comes around a little bit, you know, that last scene where she's clutching the baby, and you can kind of tell that things have turned for her, and that, you know, she's going to love this kid and she's going to do what she can so the baby survives as best as they can make it.
You just hit the nail on the head, and that's why I gave it a 9. It was based on the strength of Karen David's performance. I felt her performance in this like I've never felt it before. she was really good in that, you know, the episode with, what was her name? Was it Athena?
Athena.
Yeah.
The dream sequence.
Yeah. But I thought that she just knocked it out of the park this episode, and not just her, but her character and how well it was written, and, you know, how much I was feeling for that character, at the time. So, I mean, I don't have too much more to say in my awesome sauce. I have one other thing, but basically you just hit it. That was why I had such a diametrically opposite reaction to what seems like Kyle's reaction, because I felt in her reaction, I felt the reaction that I feel sometimes on a daily basis, like just my own frustration with my life sometimes. And it just, okay, that might be a little too inside baseball, but anyway, I felt it. I understood what she was going through, and that's why I had the reaction to this episode that I did. So
right, that's the thing, is that there were other things in the episode that took me out of that moment. And had they gone down a little differently, I might have rated it higher.
Right.
But it's sort of, no matter how good her performance was, it couldn't pull free of the shackles of the other things that I was scratching my head about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where I gave my, one of my awesome sauce was Grace. And it's like, I really did like her character. I think what it was like, it was, I know what you were kind of saying, LT, where it's like, but like, I was enjoying kind of her dealing with this whole world and like, you know, dealing with the baby, which, you know, I thought, at my issues with the baby is just because I'm kind of like, I'm tired of this being like a plot point of like saving this kid. I know that's being harsh, because, but it's like, just that, I'm not having, I don't want to see it. Like, it's not something I really want to, like, I feel that needs to be really part of it.
Right.
But I liked Grace being, though, kind of like the, you know, kind of being like giving more of the reality check to Morgan. And that's what I liked at the end, like when she kind of basically kept pushing. I was like, well, no, it's like, you know, you want to build this better place, but do you, you know, but is it really going to happen? You know, or is like, but that's not really going to happen. It's not like you can't have this dream. It's like, you need to like face reality that it's just this is a tough world or whatever, you know? And so her performance and all that stuff. So like, I'm giving her my awesome sauce in that regard, but it was everything else. And I think I'm just getting a little tired of Morgan. And I think what my issue is, because I'm starting to kind of have like, Madison withdrawals, because I feel like Madison was fitting in that, in his role of being like, I'm trying to build the world, blah, blah, blah. But like, now we're this far in, and it's like, this has kind of been Morgan's theme since they brought him on. And it's like, I mean, I'm hoping that this is the change, that he's finally just giving it up on this, that he can just save the whole world and only he can do it, you know? So that's where I'm coming from, where I'm like, I'm starting to just, I want to move on. Like, you know, I want to see more Alicia and Strand, you know. I'm kind of, I'm done with Morgan. I'm like, I'm just like, okay, you go do your thing then. Just like, whatever. Cause I just having these focused all the episode on him. I'm like, we've seen this. I'm kind of tired of it.
No, I cannot, disagree with you on that. I am also pretty frustrated in the lack of Alicia. And, you know, I have to think at this point that it's COVID related, at least to some extent. Because it's just, you know, it's ridiculous that, you know, you've got this, actress who's, you know, second on the bill, and yet, we barely have seen her last season and this season, you know? So I just concur with that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still, there was some awesome stuff again that I always bring up. It's like, I enjoy all the different type of walkers that we're seeing. It's like,
yeah,
that's to me, I'm like, that's another big like thing that I enjoy. Like we're this is an apocalyptic, you know, world, you know, they're surviving and now we're dealing with like, oh gosh, there's like fallout. Like who would have thought that like you would have to be dealing with fallout during a zombie apocalypse. But yeah, like showing like the gooey exploding, I guess, when touched walkers, cause they're coming from the crater or something like that. Like, and then, you know, Morgan ran into them with the car and they all explode, and then them at the windows, you know, and they're just basically melting and like sliming, you know, running down the glass, like all those effects, all that stuff is like, it's, to me, I'm like, oh, that is so cool. I would love to see, like, I like seeing that. And it was kind of like, I put in here in my notes, I was just like, it reminded me of that, of The Walking Dead, what was it, season 5, episode 5, self-help, when Eugene was on that, you know, the fire truck or whatever, and sprayed the water hose.
Oh,
and,
knocked
all the walkers down, and they all kind of, like, fell apart or, like, you know, whatever. So, I mean, it was just, like, I don't know. I just love seeing how they're doing new things with walkers or doing fun things with walkers that, you know, to me, I'm like, that's part of the show that I like to see. And then the last is, just getting more information about Padre. And I mean, Aaron makes a good, interesting, you know, comment about, you know, thinking that it was like, kind of like saying father or mean father. But, we obviously now know it's a place, or maybe it's an idea, you know, we don't know, but obviously there's people talking on a radio, and Bay and Fred, you know, the other two people, you know, they heard of this and they've, I guess, kind of maybe figured out where it was. And now we're finding out that it's like, oh, yeah, it's near Corpus Christi, possibly.
Yep. This will be in my weak sauce.
Okay.
This is the weakest of the week, by the way, in my opinion. So we definitely are... Not on the same
continent.
Yeah. No, we're like, yeah, we're different poles this week.
Well, hey, no, they're good. I like to like kind of hear what your comment is when we get to that. But I don't know. It's just they dropped it on us last episode, and now we're like, okay, here's, you know, a little more information. And, you know, I'm looking at it, it's like, oh, is that where Alicia is? So we have to get there so that we can finally see her. So yeah, that's pretty much what I had for just, you know, awesome. Do you have anything else, Brian?
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, again, diametrically opposed to what you had to say. I think Morgan has given up the whole, like, we don't have to try to, you know, make civilization the way it was. We just need to, you know, keep things going. He says, we've been this is paraphrasing. I didn't get the exact words. This may be slightly different, but he said something like, we've been trying so hard to fix things back to the way they were. It might be okay to be just a bit broken. He says that to Grace. And I think that's a sign of, you know, maybe Morgan is finally going to stop trying to, you know, make things the way that they were and just, you know, make things good enough to make things worthwhile, you know, because nothing is ever going to be the way things were, you know, it's just not. And, you know, I think he's right in not wanting to have anything to do with, Strand, but mm-hmm. because I think that's, you know, I think Strand is on his way to, you know, becoming the governor or Negan, you know, or worse. But, I think that, you know, just just having a settlement, you know, something that, you know, they can live out their days or whatever, I think is good. I don't know if I would consider Padre Island the best possible place in all contingencies, because I'll talk about that as well. but this, besides the point, I think he's starting to get up off his ideals. So that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And if that's a paraphrase, maybe, I don't know if that, because I'm like, I looked at my notes. I don't think I wrote, you know, I didn't write it down. But my only kind of disagreement then in that sense of, for me, is like, it shouldn't be we've been trying, because I think it's just he's been trying.
I don't know. I think that it has been more than just him. Like, I think Alicia's been trying for that too, and Grace has been trying. Maybe they haven't been trying as hard, but they're certainly, you know, behind those things. So, I don't think Strand has ever been, but I think at least Alicia and Grace have been. So,
yeah, but I'm just saying in the regards of, like, though, but he's been
chief cheerleader and orchestrator. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's been pushing everybody to do this, and it's been him the one controlling it and saying, no, we're doing this. When they're like, no, let's do this. So that's my, and then we've been doing this for several seasons now, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. So it's good to see some change, but we'll see.
Yeah. No disagreement there.
Yeah. Cool. So. All right. Well, if that was all, let's all get into... Well, let's get into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Actually, didn't get any from our listeners this week. so let's go into our weak sauce. I'll just go through mine real quick, because I do want to hear what you have to say about Padre. the finding the floor under the food under the floors in the sub at the end, I really was like, whoa. Like, have you guys not been searching the sub as that you've been on for I don't know how long? I mean, you know, they were running out of food, and then it was like in the same room that they were storing their food. I think you would have gone through and been searching every inch of that place, checking every door or hatch, because I mean, that's what subs have. They compartments.
Yep.
You know, it's like they're in the floor, they're in the wall, they're like behind the beds that flip up, you know, like they're everywhere. And so I kind of was all like, you guys never search the sub, and it just took you to that, you know, it wasn't like it was really that hidden to me, at least. So
no disagreement there.
I'm going to ramble about that.
Okay.
I'll let you go ahead, so I'll just finish up in a minute.
Awesome. And then I think I'm having just a little issue just with like having a baby in, you know, these episodes or in this world or whatever. I don't know. It's like, for one, it was like the baby is like, how long did it go without food? I mean, I try to like figure out like from the scene, you know, from the starting this episode to the end, I don't know. Was that 48 hours, 72 hours? But you know, it was
too
like,
long.
Yeah. And it just seemed like, I don't know. And obviously it's like, well, then we have the baby crying, and it's like, that's going to cause tension and blah, 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 blah. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, that's where I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, we've seen babies in The Walking Dead. So, I mean, like, I get that part of it. You know, they're a liability and it takes some work to keep them alive. But it, like, this wasn't even their baby. And it's like, I don't get why those other people, like, besides being crazy, were like trying to keep the baby alive. Like this whole episode was all centered around this baby and like people wanting babies. And it just kind of put me off to, I'm like, okay, whatever. I just, you know, they could have done something else. Like, I don't know. To me, that's why I was kind of like, I could have done without this episode. You know, and then if I wanted to be like real, and I know that this isn't a reality show, but I just kind of like, okay, if you're in the ZA at this point and you're like in a condition like this where you're like, you have no food or you're running out of food and you're like, you can't even go outside because there was a nuclear blast, you know, and it was like, you're risking your life to save the baby. And I know it might be kind of harsh, but I was kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, like I've seen this before and I just didn't really care. And then also I'm just like, you know, like, just get rid of it. being harsh. And I like, you know, like I said, like we were talking earlier, I'm like, yes, I like the show.
Wow.
I just think this episode, yes, I just think this episode and like this plot point, you know, they use this well, and I'm kind of like, I don't enjoy this, you know, I'm like, I want to see something else. So that's me. That's, you know, you might think differently. I just kind of like, I don't want babies in this show anymore. So that's all I have.
What do you really think?
Okay. Well, that's, yep. I'll just put it out there. go ahead, whoever wants to go next.
Well, I'll go because I just want to get this off my chest. I'm sorry. Everyone from Texas should know what Padre is. Padre is on a frickin' map, and Padre is the largest barrier island in the world, okay? It's it's clearly and literally, if where they were in Galveston, the sub, that's on a barrier island, right? It's just the next barrier island over, or a near island. It's, they're probably not exactly the same island, but they're close. But
they're close.
Yeah. But my point being is that I don't buy the fact that no one knows what Padre is. It's a load of crap to me. So them making it a plot point doesn't ring true to me. I knew what Padre was. I'm not even from this country, okay? Originally. Okay, I've lived here 21 years, but anyway. But still, it's like, come on. I don't buy it. Secondly, making it like the place to go, it gets hit by hurricanes quite a lot. So, yeah, it might not be a bad place to be some of the time, but you know, if the weather gets bad, or for that matter, you know, it's the summer, maybe you might not want to be there.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
And the point that you were making is that it's a coastal barrier island.
Yes.
So it's going to be out on the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
Which means you're not going to have the same fresh water.
Right.
You're probably not going to have an accessible water table.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And for all the wonderful defensible things about being on an island, you have all the negatives of being on an island.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of my point, is that there are some definite positives to it. There'd definitely be less walkers there, at least in theory. But there's, where are you going to get the water from? And if there's a storm, where do you go? You know, what happens if you're 12 feet flooded? You know, because I mean, that does happen and has happened on those islands. You know, Galveston, for example, you know, was famously pretty much wiped out in one of the hurricanes, you know, around the turn of the century.
Yeah, it was in the early 1900s.
Right. And you know, same with Padre Island. You know, that's had its share of severe weather as well. So anyway, there are positives to it, but number one, I don't buy it as the best place to be, and I don't buy it as I don't know what it is. I can understand what why Morgan doesn't understand what it is because he's not from there. But if he grabbed a map of Texas, it's going to have on it Padre Island, you know? And it's like, chances are he's seen a map of Texas at this point.
At this point.
So, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I put in getting to know more information, because I agree with you. It's like, you know, I know that Padre Island, and just hearing Padre, that's what I thought. But then that's where I was thinking, where it's like, well, but maybe it's an idea, maybe it's like something else than the obvious. And then, yeah, you know, then they even like put it on the map that they showed, you know, it's like, it's, you know, inland, or, you know, it's not, you know, it's not circling an island. It's like in a, you know, I don't know, it's like north of Corpus Christi, port or whatever. So that's where I was kind of like wondering if it's like a code, you know, like it was code or something, right. You know, it's like Padre is just the name of this place, but not the actual island,
you know. And you know, if that's the case, it's certainly hidden from us at this point.
Well, right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. And then,
'cause we have the obvious thing that all of us are thinking, you know, along the same lines, it would be like if I left a note that said Ocracoke, then somebody would go, oh, he's gone to Cave Hatteras. It's obvious enough for the people, even in the region, that it, you know, I would say that it would ring some bells, you know, especially if you were a Texan.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of my point, is that Grace, you know, she's not, we know pretty much she's not from that area of Texas, but you would think that she would know what Padre Island is, and it might ring a bell, especially the fact that they're on, you know, a barrier island as it is. Anyway, mm-hmm. So that's where I was kind of like, you know, really?
Yeah, no, it's a
really
good point.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my point.
Cool. All right, LT, take it away with the subs.
Well, I was going to run with something you had said, and it's obviously there are no submariners in the apocalypse. Nobody's been to a museum submarine, or I would even go as far as nobody ever saw the movie Das Boot. You know, because the reason I bring that one up is it has some of the best scenes of when they leave port, every nook, cranny, and available space has food in it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one thing they can't make. They can get more air. They have, you know, desalinizers so they can make water, but you can't make food. So even modern subs, you know, along the line that you were saying, I've been on the USS Clamagore, which is down in Charleston. I've been on, was it the Barb, I think? But there's several subs that I've been on that were World War II era subs. And even in the compartments for senior NCOs and officers on board the boat, there are racks of storage space for mechanical parts and tools and food, because that's the one thing a sub does not have enough of is free space. And if anybody had been a survivor that had, I would say, even been in the Navy, they would know to look in every cupboard, cabinet, under the floor, in the ceiling, that there would be stuff squirreled away.
Yeah.
I don't even think you need to be even, you know, had any kind of connection to being a submariner or like, you know, like to me, it just, it was kind of like a, it's just common knowledge. Like yeah. Subs are compact. Like that's what they do. That's how they build them.
Right. Well, and I was just giving them the benefit of the doubt that they may not know. The only other weakness that I find with the assertion that there was still all these stores on board is, wasn't the premise of this that the sub had been adrift after the apocalypse and had washed up on this beach and we found the crew still inside? I'm wondering, well, how long were they, you know, out of port since their last provisioning before things went bad?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I you know, just from the standpoint of, well, how much of the stores did the crew consume while the crew was still on board?
Yeah.
You know, would there still be this one compartment that's just chock full of number 10 cans?
By the way, when are we going to see that webisode thing? You know, we've been waiting.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talked about it. Yeah, it was a lot.
That was months ago. Yeah.
Like March?
Yeah. Months ago.
They're behind.
Yes, months and months ago.
Yep.
That was my big weak sauce, because everything else I objected to is in what country?
Yep.
All right. Well, then let's go right into what sauce.
What?
And we got one from Renee. She gives us her what sauce, and she said that damn low down dirty dog Strand has some nerve thinking Grace would leave Morgan to go to his place and work for him, and Morgan has some nerve saying he's going to send Mo with them. I wouldn't trust my worst enemy with Strand. Cuss face. Oh, Lord, why the hell is the bounty hunter brother being thrown in the midst? Strand's no good ass, and reuniting with our people is enough to deal with. That's what's wrong with Fear of the Walking Dead. They always go off track. Eye roll. And I was going to have this as my what sauce, too. So thank you, Renee, because that's the ending. Like, the end, I was kind of like, huh? Like, why? like the bounty hunter, we haven't seen him, obviously, what, since last season's episode one?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of like he was dispatched, and then it was like, okay, that was the end, you know? Like, you know, and now we have his brother, and it, yeah, I kind of agree. It's like we're waiting for the Strand, Alicia, Morgan, you know, our people, you know, battle. And now we have to deal with, like, I guess this is like another Reaper thing where they're just throwing something else in there, and that's going to take some time to get through their episodes. And then we're going to be like, okay, fine, you just sucked up like 3 or 4 episodes with this guy, and then we'll get back to what we really, really want. So I couldn't agree more. All right. Well, thank you, Renee, for your what sauce. That was all we got from our listeners. So, I'll just go through mine, because this wasn't really, I guess it was just a what sauce in the sense that I felt that there was a lot in this episode when I first watched it that, like, it just, I didn't catch. And I don't know if that was just, you know, it was not being made clear. Because it wasn't until I was watching it on my second watch with captions. And so then, obviously, with captions, you can read it. And so you, like, hear exactly what they're saying and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So my
clear,
whole thing,
that's from the other show.
Yes.
Or is it Clear the Walking Dead?
Well, maybe it should be. No, I
yeah,
just,
maybe
it was
it should
like,
be.
The, it was just the conversation that Bay had with Grace about, you know, she was saying, like, you know, that was the, you know, Grace, I think it was like, oh, did you live here? Is this your town? She's like, yes. It's like, a lot of people lived here. We lived in the buildings. And then she mentioned that it was like, oh, yeah, we used the tin cans to talk to each other or whatever. But we had not seen that before. And then it was just in this one quick, little conversation. And so I never even heard it, you know, like I never knew it. And it's just like at the end of the episode, you see Morgan grab it and start talking. And I was just like, what? You know, I was like, where did that come from? So I think my what is just basically like, I don't know if the episode just was going too fast or what was going on or if it was me, but I kept feeling like
it was
that.
You.
Was it? Okay.
Yes.
Well, because there
caught,
was the guy with
that
the
on first listen. So first watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, did not catch it. Well, because then it was the bounty hunter. It was like, you know, obviously we find out who that is, but it was like, here's this truck just pops up and then Morgan shoots at him and takes him down. And then they go do their thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, the truck's gone. So like, who were those people? I was kind of like, what's going on? They're like, they're dealing with like all these things and they just kept throwing stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So well, yeah. The what's us then goes directly to me because I was like, what?
Well, just to sidebar your tin can, in order for a tin can like that to work, the string has to be taut.
Taut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if the string's not taut.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
Oh, no.
And for that matter, I don't think it would work in from that distance either. I mean.
Well, that was my question, yeah. too, because he was pretty far away. But,
yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways, that was that.
That was.
So whoever wants to go next.
That was definitely the watch in the what sauce. I see. LT and I are in agreement with our first point, so we should maybe do it in unison because I was like, let's see, let's take a gas engine and let's make it run on diesel.
No,
not gonna work.
That I even checked just to be sure.
I did too.
And the Ford Motor Company never made a diesel Pinto.
Yeah, but the only way that Morgan would have been able to get a Pinto to run on diesel is if he took a diesel engine out of that Ford pickup that he fixed up in the previous season.
Won't fit.
Didn't think so.
I would say if he'd have pulled up in like a diesel VW Rabbit.
Yeah.
Then yeah. I could buy that because they had diesel Rabbits.
They did. Yes.
One of my good friends from high school had a diesel Rabbit.
Yep. Yeah, and same thing with Mercedes. They had several diesels. In fact,
I meant little compact.
Yeah.
And to your point, you can't run a gasoline engine on diesel.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Just that it is bad if you put gasoline in a diesel engine. It is equally as bad if you put diesel in a gasoline engine.
Right.
Just the firing temperature and the viscosity and all the myriad other things that go along with diesel fuel make it a no-go for a gasoline engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when he said, yeah, I got some diesel out of the sub, I went, what?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I mean, that it's probably something that I should have docked the episode for, and maybe I'll refine my rating a bit.
I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was really cool the fact that, you know, Morgan built up his apocalypse mobile, and it just so happened that the one thing that survived the apocalypse is a mid-70s Ford Pinto.
Yeah.
And the fact he was driving it on suicide spares. That was the other thing that I was really giggling about. I said, oh, we're going to pick the most skinny, worst possible tires to pick.
I guess that was all there was. I don't know.
Yes, it's an apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, like, even there's such a thing as a VW Beetle with a diesel engine. That would have been more realistic than the Pinto, you know? So that was just crazy.
Oh, crummy. That makes you a diesel Beetle.
Who's going to go next since we kind of did that one together?
It looks like we're going to have some more crossover.
Yeah.
Once again, no apparent decon stations from when you've been outside.
True.
So let's go ahead and just sprinkle all that lovely radioactive dust over everything inside your nice clean area. Batteries. So Grace is back to using her little handheld tape player. And I was going, did we find some AAAs in the sub? Because I thought she killed those batteries that she had last season.
Oh, yeah.
But batteries are always going to be a perpetual thing for where it's like, wait a minute. Because it's not like you can run down to the Dollar General and buy more.
Right.
Of course, since this is Fear and they are in Texas, I guess they could go to Bill's. So when we had the appearance of our mysterious stranger standing so well illuminated in front of his vehicle, and Morgan is blasting away at him with a rifle, it makes me pause for several reasons. A, you know, was he wearing rifle rated body armor, perhaps? Because even if he was wearing regular, you know, normal pistol rated body armor, rifle bullets will go right through it. If Morgan hit him more than once, that would have rung his bell pretty hard. And, you know, I've got a set of rifle plates and they cover the chest. So, you know, if Morgan would have aimed low and hit him in the giblets, I don't think it would have done any good for Mr. Guy there. And, you know, and if he's got a suit that's rifle that will cover, you know, your fumbly bits and down around your waist too, he's going to be walking like the dang Tin Woodsman. Because anything that's going to stop a full bore rifle that covers more than just your vitals is not going to be the most mobile thing in the world. And about that, if Morgan missed, what is he standing directly in front of? His truck.
Yeah.
And normally speaking, if you're facing head on and you miss the person that's standing in front of the truck, it's going to hit some important things in the truck.
Right.
Like the radiator and the engine.
Right.
Which would make it precipitously difficult for him to leap into and drive away if said fusillade of rifle fire didn't already put holes in him. So either Morgan has been taking shooting cues from the A-team, or they just sort of conveniently left that part out. I don't know what kind, I couldn't really tell what kind of rifle, what caliber of rifle it was that Morgan was using. But definitely there was some issues there because, you know, if the bullets didn't hit the guy, then they more than likely would have hit the truck. And generally speaking, vehicles don't like rifle bullets.
Yep. Unless it had armor too.
Yeah, but...
But you couldn't... Yeah, it didn't really look like it.
It's that goes back into how much and how heavy and how thick and there's... It didn't... To me, it didn't look like it was going to be like an MRAP or something with armor on it. It looked like a pickup with a big off-road bar light on it.
Yeah.
So, at the end, we figured out that this is Emil's brother. So, of course, we have to have our moment of, you know, I am going to get my revenge upon you, Morgan Jones. The only question that I had at that point was, where did he get the head in the box?
Yes.
Where did the, how did the box survive the nuclear explosion? Perhaps everyone should have found an old refrigerator box to hide in that case, and they would have been shielded from the radiation and the blast.
Yeah, I forgot about that point. So I that does have to be deducted. Point.
I just am going, okay, we know who had the box last.
What's in the box?
Jenny had the box. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yes, she did.
She had the box.
So perhaps in last season, through all the meandering of the backstory of the Pioneers, Emil's brother shows up and gets his brother's head in a box, which I think is still kind of, I don't know. You know, if someone had killed a member of my family and I was going for revenge, I don't know if I'd be toting their zombified head around as a sidekick.
Right. Like,
but again, well, that's me. That's just me.
How exactly did he find the box?
Well, right. We don't know.
If the box was back in Lawton, I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
The Brian, once you go into the cardboard box rabbit hole,
it's 7.
Deeper and deeper.
7.7.
And so, Mr. Melosh, now that you're coming over to my side.
Yes.
Like I said, it's just the fact of, so the box survived the blast. We don't know how he got the box. The fact that he's toting his dead brother's zombie head around in said box.
Well, no, he wasn't, though. He just came upon it. He came upon it with Rufus, which makes me think, didn't anybody care about Rufus? Like, they just,
what about the
dog? What about the dog?
That's where it has to go down to 7.5. So I've already dropped it by 1.5.
Okay.
Because I thought about that.
I'm just going to throw it out here like this. And this is just my feeling. So what would do you better, Brian? The fact that the brother somehow got the box with the head and was carrying it around with him, or mysteriously after getting shot, reacquires Rufus and they just randomly happen to find the box at a conveniently burning campfire.
That's kind of where I was coming from. That's why it dropped from 9 to 8. So
which sad altered reality suits you best, sir?
All of that drops the thing by a point, and then the whole Rufus thing drops by another half point. But I had the whole Emil's brother thing down as well. But I had this point where with him, I thought, what is he? Is that a CRM? Because like I've been waiting to see the CRM on here. And I'm thinking, is that guy CRM? But then I had like this weird, two universes collide kind of thing. And I thought, that guy looks like a Borg.
Yeah.
From a distance, it looked like a Borg.
I am Emil's brother of Borg. Your biological distinctness will be made part of our own. You will be assimilated. Yep. Resistance is futile.
Yeah.
Fun.
The fact that he looked like a Borg and, he just gets up and goes away, you know, mysteriously. I thought it was, strange, but anyway, the other two things that you're all done, right, LT?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other two things that I wrote down, if they are so gooey, why are they still undead? I mean, how is it that they're still like walking at this point? Wouldn't you think that they would have just completely fried over at this point, been no longer viable as undead? And then there was a line that I caught that was kind of strange. And again, this is paraphrasing. This is my husband. He's called Fred.
Yeah.
That's what she said. She didn't say, yeah. His name is Fred, or this is Fred. She said, he's called Fred. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, they were all, they were just, yeah, had a couple of loose burned screws.
Well, they definitely had a couple of loose screws, but, you know, and yeah. Loose noses, but.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, cheeks and whatnot. And that whole thing was pretty gross, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right up there. It was right up there with, oh, God, what was it?
Some pretty cool makeup.
Yeah, the Reavers in Firefly, and
yeah,
the guys with the phage in Star Trek.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or just general movies with lepers,
or the bad guys from Insurrection.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah,
yeah. With the stretch skin.
Mm-hmm.
We're all still going down the same kind of trail on that. Now, the only thing, Brian, with your gooey walkers, that's kind of like been my thing with the beef jerky walkers. You know, if they're so desiccated and dried out, how are they going to walk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like a prime point of decay when walkers are extremely viable, and then, you know, if they're too gushy or they're too dry, then I kind of struggle with how they can propel themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe the side effect of the zombie virus is their bodies, extrude formaldehyde or something.
Well, and the thing is, for, you know, being in that crater and, you know, being witness to that bomb, why wouldn't they turn to jerky? Why would they get all gooey? You know, it's like, I guess it depends on how close they are, whether they're steam heated versus
rotisseried or
yeah.
That's gonna be just like the conversation of grilled hot dogs or boiled hot dogs.
Exactly. Exactly. I guess if they're heated by boiling them, I guess they would turn gooey. Whereas if they're fire grilled, then they're jerky. So okay, well, I answered my own question. All right. That's all I've got.
All right. All right. Well, then that goes into our sad and aw sauce. And we got the one from Renee from Atlanta, and she gives her sad and aw as hearing the zombie noise coming out of the suitcase and knowing it was the baby. But I still wanted to see the zombie baby. She's like, shrug, shrug. The couple suffered some nasty side effects from being out in the wasteland. Morgan talking about he hated leaving the lady behind. Eyeball emoji. The hell? She wasn't coming back with me. I felt some type of way when she was in the car with him. Eye roll. And then she gave a cute sauce. Mo is so cute and looks like she could be Grace's baby. We know that she's not Grace's baby, but she could look like Grace's baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mo was cute. Just cried a lot. And I didn't have anything against Mo. I just, babies in general in the ZA in this episode. Oh, all right. Thank you, Renee, for your sad, aw, and cute sauce. We'll go into ours. I didn't really have anything. I mean, so I'll just leave it, I guess, to you, LT.
Well, I had three sads. One was the Zombaby. Just the idea that they were trying so hard to try to save their baby, despite the fact they were in such bad shape themselves, but yet it was not to be. And it was also sad that we didn't get to see the Zombaby. I put some sad sauce for the couple themselves because, you know, they managed to survive this horrific event. And even though they were a little crazy and they did some stuff that I'm still scratching my head over, you know, they did try to stay together and stay coupley and save their baby. And they didn't do a very bang up job of it. And we talked about her earlier, and I just had to include sad sauce for just Grace being a bag of nerves. You know, before she was able to get her head squared away and get back, you know, get back some sense, she definitely was all torn up and a big emotional wreck. So, again, more props to Karen David for her performance.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that. All right. Well, Len, I guess that's it for that. So why don't we just go into our feedback?
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And we got an epic four-part because our voicemail cuts off after, what, 3 minutes?
So, something like that.
Yeah, so FYI for any feedback from listeners, if you're calling on the voicemail,
if you call the 216-232-6146, it cuts off at 3 minutes, so you can just do like Dieta did and just, you know, leave another message.
Or so, if you can record it,
yes,
if you have the wherewithal to record it, you can send us your recording and upload it to the Talk Through Media website feedback forum.
Yeah, or you can just email us too at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. So
yep. FYI. All right, so let's start with the voicemail from Dieta, and we'll start with the first one.
Hi, this is Dieta from Detroit calling for the Fear of the Walking Dead podcast with feedback. Okay, so I was going to type it, but of course I kept forgetting. And I know we extended the deadline to tonight, so I know I'm about to sit still. So I'm just going to call in. That's me, I'm calling in, I'm not typing. So this past episode, I'm going to tell you, it left me in my, I kind of really don't know what to say about this episode. It was okay. I don't feel like anything special in particular. So I'm going to rate this episode 7 out of 10. I'm not singing that song. I don't want to hear that song because apparently this episode was about a song. And of course, we know, Grace. Grace, dealing with still dealing with the loss of her child after, during the bombing or the fallout and all of that. So yeah, basically we spent this episode just kind of going through Grace's emotions and feelings towards Mo, the baby. I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna stay with fear, but I'm just not feeling that. But I don't know. It's missing something to me. I don't know if I'm missing it or it's just me, but I'm struggling. So Grace is, I guess basically what I want to say is Grace, you know, kind of going through her thing with, which is understandable at the same time. And then Morgan trying to save her from herself, and they meet these two crazy folks on the road, which, okay. So, you know, I got some weak sauce. I say weak sauce. Morgan actually, weak sauce would be the building of that, the supernova car or whatever the heck you want to call it, spaceship. I have to laugh because my husband,
he watched the episode with me, and he was like, how the heck did Morgan actually build a car? Like, he got all this, he had all this time to build this car, this super spacey shipping, non-radioactive car. And it just sat out there, I guess, outside the submarine, and nobody came along and tried to steal it and whatnot. So, yeah, that's the weak sauce for the episode, that supernova car. But anyway, that was that. So, yeah, so they, the song come on the, I guess, it didn't have to know.
All right, thank you, Deanna. That was the first one. And so I love that she brought up the car, because
that, you know, that makes me want to deduct a little more. Because, well, she brings up a point that I forgot about bringing up in my own thoughts is, yeah, okay, so this hypothetically, they've been out in that car, or that they've been in the sub for 50 days. But, you know, let's just right. say that. So, so how many of those days has he been spending, you know, 6 hours a day making this car, you know, because
maybe that's why they didn't find the food in the submarine.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so he's been working on this project, but she brings up a good point. You know, how long did it take? And he, like, strapped on this you know, diesel tank, and obviously, you know, our discussion about a diesel Pinto is an impossibility. So, you know, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's say, okay, he had to take a VW engine and stick it into a Pinto. So how did he construct this thing, and how did he make it, like, nuclear proof or radiation proof? And also, he said that it was as that the air was as you know, contamination free as it was in the sub. So how did that happen? Like, what did he do? Build scrubbers into it?
Right.
So yeah, these are things that I didn't completely take into consideration in my rating, but yeah, I mean, all of these things are roughly equivalent to the whole time and distance, you know, yeah, gripes that I've had of previous seasons. So yeah,
I would have liked to have seen the build montage for that.
You're right. And yeah,
and do the A-Team theme in the background, because wasn't that something they always did in the episode when they built their contraption? You know, you see Mr. T welding, and you see
there
carrying in parts. So it's like Morgan, dun 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 dun,
yep,
dun, 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 dun.
We need a montage.
But makes me think too, it's like, especially when you were saying, it's like, yes, it's been 50 days since the blast, or, you know, somewhat. So this whole time, has Morgan just been lying to Grace, his love of his life?
Let's like, hope not. But at the same time, you know, obviously he must have been working on this more than just the 6 hours in that period, because, like, I'm sorry, right, even if he's the craftiest, you know, mechanic there is, he's not going to be able to build this thing in 6 hours, you know?
No, right. And he, you know, that's the question. And with this whole, now kind of bringing up the time thing, it's like, well, she's been sitting there on the sub with the baby, you know, they had food, you know, some supplies, but then he's going out on his time, and she's not asking him. It's like, oh, did you find anything? And he'd be like, oh, nope, didn't find anything. Because he didn't tell her till that last minute. They're yeah, saying, oh, no, I've been working on something else. And it's like, so this whole time?
Yeah. And for that matter, you know, when he says, no, I've been working on something else, her response should have been, you've been working on something else?
Right.
What the hell have you been doing? You know?
Right. Oh, goodness.
7.1.
Oh, what shall it get to by the end?
I don't know, but.
All right. All right. Well, let's continue on with Dieta part two.
Okay, so this is Dieta calling from Detroit with part two of her feedback for Fear the Walking Dead. Of course, you know, the voicemail isn't long enough. But so I was talking about Morgan and his supernova car. So, yeah, that was my weak sauce. Let's see. Is there any sad sauce in the episode? Not really. But I got some what sauce for the crazy couple that that Morgan and Grace ran into. what sauce? Did they actually have the baby in the suitcase? And the suitcase, Morgan in the back of the suitcase started moving, making noise. That was too funny. But I was like, oh, that's so gross and sick. So, yeah, that was like, what? Well, I was like, oh, my God. I thought they were going to open the suitcase and show a baby. But I don't think they've ever done that on The Walking Dead show. But I have seen it on other zombie shows. But, yeah, that was the what moment. So, yeah, like I said, the episode kind of left me feeling new. I was confused because Grace kept, I guess when they came across the guy in the hazmat suit from Victor's people or his crew or whatever you want to call them, and they kept asking, they asked him, are you the one that ran us off the road? And they were like, we said we didn't want any trouble, so basically saying no. But I don't remember seeing that part when they were ran off the road. I thought the reason they ran off the road was due to Grace hollering about the tape plan, and Morgan was trying to get the tape out, so he wasn't paying attention, and then he looked up and ended up having to swerve because they was about to hit something, or was that the car? So I don't know. Yeah, I just kind of thought that was kind of why she kept saying that. I didn't go back and rewatch it. Didn't have a chance to feel the need to anyway. So let's talk about, so the other crazy thing was the, I can't think of the guy name. So apparently we got whoever Victoria hired to go after Morgan's head. And, you know, Morgan, that's when I thought Morgan had finally came around to, you know, we going to knock him off as we need to kind of person, but I guess not. But anyway, he took, you know, chopped the guy's head off. So now his brother is after Morgan. And I'm trying to figure out how that's going. Why is that a storyline now? I'm not sure. And even the thing about it is, like, Morgan shot him 3 times. He fell to the ground, but he still got up and walked away. Because I thought whoever was in the middle of the street was still in the street. But when they showed the car was gone and the street was empty. So you get shot 3 times, but you're still going to get back in the car and drive away and then go sit up.
All right. That was the part two. And I don't know if she goes on and restarts or not. But I guess, you know, the bounty hunter, which is kind of what I agreed with, it was just like, do we really need this? So hopefully it's short and not like a multi, you know, episode arc, because
maybe Morgan had to swerve to avoid the telephone string dangling out the street.
Yeah, that was, I thought the same thing. I didn't see any other car and I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't really understand. It's like, oh, that they weren't the one that ran me off the road or ran us off the road, but I didn't see that. Was there a car? Or because she was freaking out about the tape, and then my comment in my notes was just all like, exactly, like, watch the road, and then there was that car in front of him, but I didn't see it being like it was moving or, you know, yeah, so I didn't get that either. I would agree. I was confused.
The baby reminded me of C Nation Zombie Baby. That was my the thing I was going to bring up. Spoiler.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was one in that show.
On that show, yeah. LT, anything?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we'll go into part three.
Okay, this is Dieta from Detroit, part three, Fear the Walking Dead podcast talking. So let me hurry up before I run out of time this time. Okay, so basically, yeah, I was just talking about how
that's going to be a storyline, I guess. I can't remember the guy's name, the head he chopped off in last season. But, yeah, I guess his brother is supposedly looking for Morgan Jones, and he must got superpowers because he took 3 bullets and still got up and walked away. But anyway, and then you got Victor's people showing up on the submarine. I thought that was kind of funny, is how when Grayson, Morgan get back to the sub, and I'm like, okay, so y'all didn't see any cars around, any horses around, nothing in the area to let you know that somebody done climbed up into your sub. Just not getting that. I mean, because I guess the sub was wide open after they left. You know, anybody could just come in there and take whatever. So, yeah. Where did they hide their cars? And how come they didn't think anybody might have been on there or anything? I don't know. Like I said, this episode was just kind of, yeah, it was okay. Like I said, I'm still not understanding what's the big deal about Alicia and Victor and Victor trying to redeem himself and all of that. I don't know. This storyline is stupid. I'll more so take it as Victor just being Victor, which he's always been through all the seasons ever since he's been on it, looking out for himself. And I disagree with you, LT, because Victor is like Virginia, because currently he only accept people if they have or what was her thing? She only keeps people that are can do stuff or beneficial to the tower now, or whatever the hell they're calling it. But yeah, so that is Victor is a new Virginia. I don't see Negan tendencies in there, you know. I just don't see it. I just think this has been Victor ever since season one, just basically negotiating and kind and, you know, trying to get the best just kind of negotiating and conniving and always trying to have an upper hand so that he's looking good in the end. And this is exactly him. So, yeah. What else? Oh, and I totally agree with you, Brian. I forgot what you said, but whatever you said in that in the feedback for the last episode, yeah, I agree. I forgot what it was. It was like, I was like, oh, my gosh, that is so true, Brian. But, yeah. So, yeah. Hi, everybody. Hi, LT, Brian, Renee, Kyle. I agree with you, too, Kyle, because, yeah, a lot of stuff you, what you said was true. But, yeah, this...
Now I want to know what it was.
Yeah. Well, should I just go to the part four? It's the last part of
Was just going to say Victor being Victor is true, but have we ever seen him kill before? We've seen him like shoot Daniel, but mm-hmm. I've never seen him like push someone off a building like he did. So,
or yeah. Yeah.
But we have definitely seen Victor, you know, do what Victor's going to do to maximize whatever Victor's trying to do for himself. So he does look out for himself at all times. So I agree with you.
That's for true.
Yes.
Okay. I will go to the last part and then we'll discuss.
Oh, okay. This is Deanna from Detroit. I have, I guess, part four. Calling for the Fear of the Walking Dead. Yeah, excuse those beeps, because apparently when I started calling to record, that's when my phone wanted to start ringing. But I did have one last little bit of feedback. That time, like you said, I guess we're going to get separate episodes, each supposedly group. That's probably why I'm not really feeling sure. Everybody's scattered in... It is, you know, the distance, I guess the distance and when they scattered. I'm just trying to, you know, replay anything that happened last season, because we know that, I guess this coming Sunday is the episode with John Doerr Sr. and June under the ground. Just trying to figure out how everybody just got so scattered and how far away are they where they can't, nobody's tried to, I don't know. I guess they're going to bring everybody together towards the end, but I guess. Yeah, because, you know, and then we know Daniel and the oil lady, and I can't think of her name, and Charlie, and who else was on that Daniel submarine? Oh, Luciana, who just shows up, in, you know, out the blue every now. They got withstand the helicopter. I don't know. Yep, but yeah, so I guess, like I said, this episode, I don't know. I'm just hanging in there for fear. I haven't been wild yet, waiting on the wild factor, I guess. And maybe we'll get something towards the end of the season. All right, again, thanks, guys. Sorry about that. Bye.
Thank you, Deanna, so much for your voicemail. And you know what? It doesn't matter how many you have to do. You know, hopefully some of the points of, like, if you can record it on your phone or whatever and then just upload it through the, you know, feedback form, that might help next time. But still, yeah. Thank you so much for bringing in the feedback.
And we love Don't ever be sorry. We love the voicemail, so, and we always will. The thing that I still want to know what it was that you agreed with so much, but I did think about what you said and everyone being scattered and the distance between them myself a little bit, you know, especially we've got that group that was taken off by helicopter and, right. You know, where are they and how far away are that? Are they, like, did they end up, you know, in Albany, New York or Ithaca or whatever it is, or are they, you know, somewhere else? I mean, yeah, maybe at this point, well, I guess at this point it would be true. Maybe Omaha does exist, right? Maybe maybe they're in Omaha. Maybe they're the reasons why Omaha was burned to the ground or whatever, taken over by on the other show. So, yeah, who knows, but I was curious about that. And, you know, we know about June and John Dory Sr. You know, we're supposedly going to see them, you know, this next coming week. And of course we still have yet to see
Alicia,
but we know that she can't be too far away, based on, you know, the fact that we saw Will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah,
hopefully
we'll find out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And I think they're going to be doing what they did last season too, or, you know, it's the, and not that, you know, there's obviously going to be, there has been some COVID issues, which, you know, depending on how that changed anything with their shooting or story, you know, or this and that, there probably was some changes like that. But I guess, you know, they are going to be doing kind of like these, like, oh, you know, kind of grouped episodes of, like, oh, okay, here's John Dory Sr. and, you know, June. And it's like, we'll have them.
We definitely know that it had some effect on shooting. I mean, it's affected every TV show and movie out there at this point, one way or another.
Right. And so we just, you know, we don't know exactly what that was change wise. Right. If, you know, this, what we're seeing is like a result of that, or this is exactly what they had, you know, and they just, you know, this is what we're actually
seeing. I mean, the one thing that we're seeing is the conversion to the, I can only call them the Halloween mask, style walker, where there's a lot less makeup and a lot more, rubber mask. You can see it. You know, I think the ones that are close up, you don't see it so much, but the ones that are like further away, I definitely notice it. Like there's definitely a,
different
Halloween type of look to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
In some ways, they're almost like a whisperer's type.
Yeah, funny. All right. Well, thank you again so much for your voicemail, Dieta. Loved it. Keep it coming. All right. Well, so our next feedback comes from Aaron from the internet.
I'm going to take this one, because the reason why I'm going to take it is because Aaron sent me this. So Aaron, I don't know if this was like okay to put on the podcast, but at the time when I put this in our notes, we didn't really have a lot of feedback. So I'm like, well, maybe I should use this. So hopefully this is okay. She just said, I skipped this week. So essentially she didn't really even watch the episode because it was Morgan centric and I just didn't have it in me to watch them baby him. Ha. I did see some of Grace's stuff, which I thought was interesting with her saying she didn't want to do this anymore because she knows what could happen post fallout. But of course I see Morgan talk to her into staying, and despite having everything taken, they find a secret stash of food because, of course, Morgan would. So, yeah, no report this week. Well, it sounds like she must have seen something. Yeah. I will be listening to the podcast still to see what comments you all have, and I thank you for the update about the feedback deadline. But I didn't do one this week. Yeah, I sent her just a message to say, hey, feedback has been pushed to Wednesday. Cause I know she's not on Facebook.
So,
anyway, hopefully that was okay to put in there. I assume it was.
Yeah. And yeah, hopefully our comments are, you know, kind of will get some of what, what was this episode was about without having to really watch it. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. And next is Renee from Atlanta, and I'll go ahead and just go do hers. Overall, decent episode, but they really need to pick up the pace and not drag the plot along like they tend to do. It's what makes people get bored with the show and stop tuning in. They're definitely doing a good job with the walkers looking all gory, but that's not enough to keep you tuned in.
And just slipping in under the wire while we were recording, we got some feedback from Glennis from Toronto. So we have included it here. Glennis says, better late than never. Had it already with the Fear of the Walking Dead yesterday and was going to add The Walking Dead World Beyond today, but ended up totally slipping my mind. So for what it's worth, here's my feedback. Better late than never. She gives it a rating of 6 out of 10 for crying out loud, and I will concur. She says, awesome sauce when baby Mo finally stopped crying. She says, weak sauce. Morgan's car, when it crashed, was outside, but when Morgan was attempting to fix the wheel, all of a sudden it was inside the building. And that's a good point.
That is a good point. Seems like, you know, maybe there was a scene cut or
they wheeled it inside during the commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the broken wheel, or it was a bent wheel.
It was a COVID restriction.
It was a bent wheel. So I'm assuming they could still roll it. They just couldn't drive it.
Drive it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, your point is taken. It was outside. I didn't. Now I want to say 7.1.
I just so like the awesome sauce.
I was going to say, Brian, so my 6 is not looking so bad.
No. It's not. This does happen sometimes. You know, I am influenced after like my initial rah-rah-rah gets kind of like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I forgot about that too. So anyway,
well, you know, it's my job to sprinkle cold water in the face of enthusiasm.
I still say even with that, even like considering the slammingness that, if that's a word, that I've heard some of the podcasters do, I still think that we're giving the show we're giving the show a chance, and we're calling it when it misses, but we're also giving it credit when it doesn't miss. And especially this episode, I think the scenes with Grace at the beginning of the episode were stellar. So, you know, that carried it for me until it was pushed in my face, all of the things that didn't work so well. That I was conveniently forgetting. Anyway, please continue.
Okay, well, she's left us several points of feedback. And she starts with one. I don't blame Grace for wanting to go out and see if she can find food in both six-hour stints, one after the other, as she's still deeply depressed from losing Athena, and being around baby Mo is just a sad reminder of what she lost, and also to get a bit of solace from all that crying. That really jangled the nerves. I was tempted to fast forward or mute. Number two, I mean, we get it. The baby was hungry, so it won't easily be consoled, but the crying didn't have to last nearly the whole episode. Again, we get that. That couple's husband was driven nearly insane and killed his own baby to protect them from the zombies. But I don't know that crying was also out of hand, but I guess it really illustrates the desperation all around with Morgan, Grace, and that couple.
Definitely some people not feeling the baby love this episode.
Yeah.
I'm usually the one that's not feeling the baby love, so this is kind of funny for me.
So she says, Grace shooting that couple's husband in order to save baby Mo seemed to jolt or snap Grace out of her depression. Not totally, but at least now she's prepared to care for baby Mo. Maybe she can now start to heal emotionally.
Mm-hmm. That was a good part of that scene where she started singing in replace of the, so I did like that.
Then she goes on to say, interesting intercom system used there by Morgan to warn Grace in the nick of time. Makes you wonder who set that up. Would be the type of people you'd want to meet in an apocalypse. I would have thought Howard would have been a little more lenient, at least, and leave some food for Morgan, Grace, and baby Mo. But no, he's following Strand's instructions to the letter with only offering Grace and baby Mo a safe haven. So a showdown will come in later episodes with Alicia and Morgan face down Strand. She says, but if Morgan and his cronies hadn't visited the sub, then Morgan and Grace wouldn't have discovered the powdered milk supply, so out of a bad situation came a good find. Should let them both have a little bit of relief and give them some hope after such a bleak 6+ hours. And finally, she says, so the bounty hunter has an evil twin brother. Fear the Walking Dead just went all soapy on us. He also got his brother's bloodhound back, too. Morgan, again, has to watch his back.
Yeah. That was the soap opera twist. That's totally funny. I love that group.
I was going to say, Susan Lucci of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the next episode of Days of Our Lives.
I was still thinking,
as the apocalypse turns.
Oh yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. So that's a good question. I'm just picking up on some of the stuff. Okay. Well, I guess there's kind of a question of like, so it was about six hours. Well, no, because it was 6 hours each time. So yeah, this is like several days.
Right.
The total from the whole deal. But no, it's like, was all that food that they found, was it all powdered milk?
No.
Yeah, that's
no. We saw oatmeal, which hopefully they have a microwave or something like that.
Well, you'd get some hot water somewhere.
Well, they should be able to, like you were saying, they should be able to make water from what they have.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other comments on that?
Just thank you, Glynis. We're happy to get it. And thankfully I just kept occasionally refreshing the Facebook, I almost call it the Facebook, the Facebook, because the one thing I've noticed is since their new design, it caches. And if you have a podcast that's dependent upon Facebook feedback, it's not your friend a lot of times, because it does not show when new feedback has been submitted too often. You have to constantly delete my cache on my in my browser just to make sure that I've gotten it all.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Glynis, for all that. I'm glad we were able to get it in. Do you guys have any other episode notes or?
I would just like to say thank you for, you know, giving me some of that, influencing my feedback, my thoughts of the episode, and maybe helping to see some things that I didn't see. Overall, though, I still think that it had more decent parts than it didn't. My dividing point of whether or not I still want to cover a show is a 7 out of 10. If a show can consistently rate a 7 or greater out of 10 on average, then I won't run into a situation where I don't want to cover it anymore. Thankfully, this show hasn't reached it for me yet. There have been some sub-7 episodes, but it's still above a 7 in general. And, you know, as we uncovered some stuff, it got closer to a 7, but it's still slightly above a 7. So, you know, I still consider it. It might be a little below average because of some of the misses this episode, but there were some strong points in this episode, particularly Karen David. I thought she did a tremendous job in this episode and sold me on her character, and I really got the feels from her, and you know, it's like I felt what she was going through personally. Because I've had my own struggles of recent times, and I can sympathize.
And just to sort of compliment what you're saying, I don't know if I would quite hold a 7 bar up. My thing is, if I'm still engaged enough that I want to know what happens next week, I'll keep watching it. If we had an episode where I'm like, I don't care what happens next week, then even out of morbid curiosity, I wonder what's going to happen next week, then I probably won't watch it. And you might look at my scores and say, well, he's being extremely harsh on this show, and sometimes it's merited, but as a whole, I still enjoy it now. You know, what killed me on it before was that in season 1, season 2, I really, you know, it just didn't do anything for me.
Well, like, two things I want to bring up with this about season 2. You know, I had some trouble with the show in season 1, and especially in season 2, and I got to a point where I was finally starting to feel Madison's character, and then she lit the sign up on the hotel, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And you know, that made me that just infuriated me about the show for a while, until I felt better about it near the end of the season, but that one act, I just about lost it. But this actually brings up something that I wanted to ask Renee earlier in the episode, and I forgot to bring this up. You had mentioned other post-apocalyptic shows, and I'm curious if you ever watched Falling Skies, which was a show that was on TNT. I think it ran like 2011 to 2015, and it was post-apocalyptic. And it was, I thought the first 3 seasons were really good, and then the last 2 seasons were really bad. But the first 3 seasons were good, and it was not a zombie apocalypse or you know, that kind of thing, but it was an alien invasion. And I thought that in some ways, there were some parallels to this show because it was very, at least at the beginning, because it was very family centric at the beginning. And I'm also curious if you watched The Strain and what's the other show? The other show that was on TNT, the Navy show. You know what I'm thinking?
The last ship.
The Last Ship. Yes, The Last Ship. Thank you. Eric Dane, the guy from Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, that was another, and that was a virus show. But you know, similar in some ways to this show, except there were no zombies. I'm just curious if you had a chance to watch those shows and your impression. So just, you know, whether or not we put it in the feedback of next episode or not, or you just comment on the Facebook group. I'm just curious. So anyway.
Awesome. All right. Well, are we ready to
We step are into ready.
The world of the kids show.
Beyond the world. So appropriate.
Yep, that's the new bumper.
I think we need the stinger from 90210. You know, da 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 da.
I'll put it.
See, and again, this is where it feels like my opinions have diverged from other podcasts that I know. Like, there was one podcast in particular where I and I don't want to go into the details, but we were lock in step in a lot of ways, and we've completely diverged from them. They seem to love World Beyond, and we, at least me, hates World Beyond. They seem to hate Fear, and we don't. So, except for this episode, Kyle. Anyway.
Well, but yeah, like you guys said before, though, I'm like, I still like the show, but World Beyond is, I think it's, I'll just put it, it's like, you know, I know that it's ending, so it's kind of like, okay, we'll just get through this just to see what they're going to show, because we know it's not going to continue.
I think that that's part of the thing. I think some people are, you know, like giving the show a chance because it's only got two seasons, and it's kind of like, well, I'm the opposite. It's like, it's only got two seasons, so get to the point.
Well, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to see teenage angst for, you know, seven episodes of the season. I don't care.
Yeah, we want the info. We want to watch the reveal.
You killed 100,000 people in Omaha. Why?
Why?
And finally, this episode, they asked, why? Now they're asking. It's like, well, good, it's not just me.
Yep.
So we've had, what, 10 episodes?
Yep.
And now, finally, somebody is getting the shows, getting around us to agreeing with us and going, why?
All right. Well, let's continue then. World Beyond, Season 2, Episode 4. Family is a four-letter word. Written by Maya Goldsmith, directed by Aisha Tyler, and the description is tensions run high within the group. Someone's loyalties are put to the test. We did get some listeners' feedback, and Glynis from Toronto, she gave a rating, and she said World Beyond got a 7 out of 10, but that was it. Renee from Atlanta gave some feedback and just said, Huck's husband does not know her nickname is Huck, or is he acting by telling Silas he shouldn't be afraid of a woman named Huck? Huck said she took care of Silas so they don't have to worry about him, but her husband doesn't seem to know she was behind it. But they tell tales on this show, so... Yeah, shrug, shrug, shrug emoji. I really feel bad for Huck because everyone hates her, but she's thought she was doing what was right, and her mom is consistently lying to her, and she's used to following orders. I really believe she's going to redeem herself, but she's going to get killed by someone. Elton can't look at Hope. Percy can't look at Huck without wanting to kill her. The gang is definitely not back together again. The mom doesn't want anyone to know she takes insulin. Sounds like a recipe for disaster. This show needs to pick up the pace as well. I haven't been watching it the night of because it gets dark earlier and I end up falling asleep before both shows come on. And really, they're not that interesting for me to try and fight my sleep. So shrug, shrug. Love you guys. Continue to be the best podcasters ever. Can you vote for your favorite podcast? Thank you, Renee. Yes, there's the podcast awards and stuff like that. Like you can.
Well, one way is through Podchaser. And that's probably something that
we
push that on the Star Trek podcast, but we don't do that too much on here. But I'll post something about Podchaser on the Facebook group this week, and maybe modify our episode template so that it shows up. But yes,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
maybe we should unify our post podcast chatter section.
And that's part of the problem I mentioned before about things that you can do on Facebook groups versus pages. There's all these like things that you can add in pages that you can't add in groups. But one way that you can do that too is you can leave a review and a rating on the Facebook page. So that would be facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. So that is for the whole network, but that's something you can't do for the Facebook group, but you can do that for the on the network's page. So go ahead and leave a review there. And as far as podchaser.com, you just set up an account there and you'll find us there. And there you can rate not just the podcast but the episodes. You can actually rate individual episodes on there. So but we'll post a link to that both in the templates and the like. Basically when we say on the templates, it'll be on every episode going forward. I just need to do it, but I'll do it. I'll go ahead and do it.
Well, just to finish up something about World Beyond real quick while the thought's still in my brain.
Yeah.
So Huck is just now figuring out that her mom has really been manipulating her.
Yeah.
You know, when they went through the scene that I got the big willy when they had the thing where they broke her arm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just like, ooh.
Yeah, talk about eye needles.
Yeah.
That was like arm needles.
Yeah. When they showed the little backflash of when she was on the raft and when she first washed up in Omaha.
Yeah.
So this was apparently a pretty long-term intel mission that they sent her on.
Yeah, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. But I still want to know why.
Yeah.
What was the point of sending somebody into the community like that just to like read the temperature of the people to find out what they're doing? It's still, like you said, the math doesn't quite add up yet.
There's nothing about it that adds up, you know,
and
it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So Felix is pissed off at her and she's trying to talk to him and maybe explain what was going on. And of course he's having none of it. Mm-hmm. Alton is being curious in his way and he's finding things out, but it's still not the fact that he's making googly eyes over the art commune girl is still not quite adding up, especially the fact that he's still so hung up on Hope. He's hung up on Iris.
He's hung up on every girl, I think.
Well, he's the right age for it.
Yeah.
He's hung up on Corduroy.
Because Corduroy is sexy. Hey, you know, Corduroy makes me sexy. And of course, you know, the sidebar to that is when they interviewed the actor on Talking Dead, he was saying, yeah, they had to make a new, they had to make like four new suits for him because he had a growth spurt.
Yeah, you can tell too.
Yeah, he's definitely, it's almost a, it's almost a Rupert Grint situation, from Harry Potter that, you know, he had a growth spurt and, Daniel, what's his face, didn't. So they had to keep putting him in the back because he was so much taller than he was. But so we don't know what's going on, how this whole Huck and Mom thing is going to play out. We still haven't seen the general. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know the deal with the art farm. You've got the whole struggle between Iris and Hope.
That you bring up something that really bugged me this episode. We see, you know, we see what's her name, do the, you know, do that like little speech. It's like, why is she doing it? She's like doing it like she's like the head of state, you know? Yeah. And it's like, she's a lieutenant colonel. She is not the head of state. Like, it is she, and is the major general the head of state or something like that? But the point is, she wouldn't be the one that would be making a speech like that. Like, it would be the president of the Civic Republic to me. And that made no sense to me. That was kind of like, well, we don't have any other actor to do it. You know,
well, I would say, you know, the way that I took it was she was doing like the briefing officer, you know, public information officer gig. Because if you remember back several times during like the first part of when we went back to Iraq and some of the early days of Afghanistan, you'd have that Pentagon briefing where the colonel came up and said, well, just to let you know what's going on today, we've done X, you know, our people have done this and that, which I could see if it was just a military thing. But like you said, this seems to be more, this should be the press secretary for the president or some.
Or the president themselves. Like,
right.
It wasn't delivered in a, you know, this is our, the brief, the military brief for the day. This isn't like Colin Powell, you know, talking about the, you know, the things in Desert Storm today or something like that. Even this seemed more stately, and it was that part of it that I didn't buy. So that bugged me, but there's a lot about this show that bugs me just in general. And I've been more positive about this show this season than I have been last season, but the last couple of episodes have had more trouble. But you know, this still reeks to me of Apocalypse 90210.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And it's still the most frustrating thing about the show to me is for every bit of information they give us positive about the CR, everything that we get that answers a question, there's so much other stuff that brings up more questions and, you know, makes me wonder why I'm still watching this show. That's the part I have trouble doing the math on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't dislike the show, and I've said it before. I like the, you know, I like Huck's character. The problem I'm having with her right now is the story thus far that has been exposed doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't.
As you've said, the whole calculus of why they destroyed Omaha does not make sense to me.
And it doesn't make sense why they put her, you know, they put her on a 2-year mission to get Hope, which again makes no sense to me. It's like, if it seems simple to me, it seems so simple to me. They've got her father. Her father is there. They could say, "Hey, come on. We want you to, you know, we're bringing you, you know, over to live with him. You know, you can come." Do you think that they would say no? Of course not. They wouldn't say no. They would come, and they would come gladly because they miss their dad. So that whole thing makes no sense to me at all. The only way that it makes any sense is if there was something, I don't know, some other reason that they haven't revealed yet that,
yeah, that's what I'm waiting on. Is like, yeah, there has to be something, because if there isn't, then this, yeah, it's like, then what was the point of this? Because we're not getting the answers of like, if the CRM, like, they could have, like, I don't, yeah, why could they not go to, you know, Omaha and be like, "Hey, we're doing all this research and we think, you know, Iris is super smart and we have her dad," like, you know,
they don't even have to. That's the point, though. They don't even have to do that. They could just simply say, "Hey, we've got your dad. Hey, we would, you know, we're offering the chance for you to come, and, you know, you can study yourself, and, you know, we'll give you the chance." Like, if there was something, I don't know, they had to put her through some psychological whatever, okay. But to me, if she's that smart, she's going to continue to be that smart. I don't know. It just, the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. And the more I think about it, the more it just,
yeah. And I agree. The whole thing about this being some secret research facility, it has like a mall and a school.
It's like circular logic to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, why did you do this? Well, because we needed it. Why did you need it? Because we needed this. This other thing. Well, why did you need this other thing? Because we needed her. Well, why did you need her? Well, we need to do this. What does it mean? It's like round and around and around and around and around. And yeah, you know, every answer leads to another question that eventually leads to a question you already asked. And it's just like, there's no logic to this at all. It's just,
well, it doesn't make for good TV.
No, it doesn't make for good TV. And, you know, we'll talk about the ratings, but like, from what I'm seeing, if this was supposed to hit like an earlier, you know, a younger demographic, from what I'm seeing, it's not. So,
yeah.
And that's back to, if it's supposed to hit a younger demographic, then why is it on at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So, and I'm really hoping that they can get me some answers. I'm not going to hope that they stick the landing, because right now I don't see them sticking the landing, unless there's a lot of woo woo hand wave. Don't ask why it's like this.
Yeah.
I would just, even if it's unresolved, I would at least like something to sort of make sense and it for to gel up at some point. What I'm afraid of is that I see this conflict coming between Huck and her husband. You know, this, you were the scary woman who scared the big quiet kid with long hair.
Well, yeah, you know, she's gonna, there's gonna be a thing where he or she comes to that compound, and, you know, Silas sees him talk to her, and, you know, there's going to be a whole thing, and it's going to be like, "Wait a minute, she's Huck? She's my wife." And, you know, mm-hmm. "That's not Huck, that's my wife." wait a minute, my wife's Huck? My wife is not Huckleberry Finn. Anyway.
Yeah. This the big question is like they as in the showrunners and the just Walking Dead in general, it's like they've staked a lot on this because this has a thread in the main show, in Fear, and the movies that are supposedly right. coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's like if this turns into being like, if it doesn't give us answers or even something resembling of like, oh, that's intriguing, you know, then it's kind of like, okay, well then this, that, like, then you, why the heck did you take Rick out of the show besides he wanted to leave? You know, it's kind of like, what is all this? You know, so that's what I'm worried about.
That's, you just answered it, you know, why did you do this? It's again, it's the thing we talked about last week. It's like, why did you do this? Because he wanted to leave. Why did they, you know, why did they send Michonne on this, you know, crazy search for Rick? Because she wanted to leave. Well, why did they do that? Well, because, you know, they wanted Judith, but they needed her to leave, you know, so, yeah. But why did they make Rick leave? Because again, it's just,
yeah. Well, I guess we'll wait and see. Any other thoughts before we move on? I don't think we need to, but
yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but it's reminding me of something I saw once upon a time talking about evaluations. That there was once a young officer whose evaluating commander wrote of him, his men would follow him anywhere, but just out of curiosity as to what he'd do next. I think the thing right now for World Beyond is it's not that I'm so caught up in the storyline. I'm just curious to see what they're going to do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
That's a good way to put it. And, you know, that's kind of like the reason to watch it. And I mentioned Falling Skies. That was why in the last season of it, like, it had gotten to a point where it was so stupid that if the show had, you know, if I knew the show was continuing beyond, you know, the fifth season, I would have just stopped. But it's like, well, it's the last season. I might as well watch it. Right. And it's a similar kind of thing. And it's like, well, you know, there's only six more episodes left. I might as well see where it goes. And the fact that it also is supposed to fit into this other, you know, the rest of the universe, you know, I'm curious where it goes. So anyway,
yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I would say let's move on. We will tune in next week.
Yep.
All right. Well, then that takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Oh, Shane. So for this week, Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.22 in the 18 to 49 with only 955,000 viewers. In the 25 to 54, it got a 0.35, and in the 50 and over, it got a 50, sorry, not a 50, a 0.54. Now, The Walking Dead World Beyond got a 0.14 in the 18 to 49 with 688,000 viewers. And I didn't say it before, but of course that compares with last week's Fear was a 0.26 and 1.087 million viewers. So in both cases, down quite a bit. And not in the case of World Beyond, it was slightly down in the 18 to 49 and slightly up in the number of viewers. So it's kind of weird. That's happened a couple of times in a row with the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Talking Dead, there wasn't any Talking Dead this week. I'm assuming that there won't be any Talking Dead until the season finale at this point. As far as the parrots, Fear, of course, Fear never seems to reach the parrots, but The Walking Dead went down. It was at number 4 last week, and it is at number 8 this week. So it went from a 47.1 last week times the average, the demand of an average show. And this week, it's now 42.5 times the demand of an average show. Number 1, of course, is SpongeBob. Good old SpongeBob with 74.3 times. That is up from last week's 71.2. Saturday Night Live sticking at number 2, slightly down at 64.1 versus 68.9 last week. And at number 3 and first on the digitals this week is You. Me? No, no, the show You. That is a newcomer at 56 times the demand of an average show. I guess it had just come back or is coming back, whatever.
Show You what?
There's so many pun jokes you could do with that. But anyway, My Hero Academia slips one notch because of You, and it's at number 4 where it was at number 3. And that's about all I have to say about the parrots. So that's it as far as news, ratings, and info.
All right, LT, you want to tell people how they can interact with us?
I do. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us an email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. We also have our feedback forum on our website, which is talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call 216-232-6146. And remember, you're capped out at about 3 minutes. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does.
And to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page, and you can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Lawrence Todd, the guy over there, me, Kyle McAdams, and Dieta Patterson. And remember, we are continuing on with our early, basically the early feed of the show that comes out pretty much the next day, if not as soon as I can usually get it out. But this is like a lightly, if not unedited version of the recording of tonight's episode, and you'll get it first before the main podcast comes out. So remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting that early version of the episode this week. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating and review. And thank you for Renee for reminding everyone to go out there. You longtime listeners, you know, go out there and, you know, give us that review on Apple Podcasts. And as we were talking before, you can leave us a review at podchaser.com, and there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And remember always to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right, Brian, where else can we be listened to?
Yeah, and I'm going to post the information about podchaser.com in the Facebook group, and we'll make sure that it's on the blog post. I think it, I don't know. It may not be, so I'll make sure that it is. I know it's on the Star Trek ones. Anyway, so we got the last episode out of the Star Trek Lower Decks for the finale was a couple of weeks ago, and it took me forever to get the episode out, but I finally got it out earlier this week. Now coming is Star Trek Prodigy. So none of us is involved with that, but we, as part of the network, is Kim and James from the Re-Binge Deep Space Nine podcast. They have come forward, and they are, I should say, they are stepping up, and they are doing the Prodigy podcast. So that will be on the regular Star Trek feed, and it will also have a dedicated Star Trek Prodigy podcast feed, because Star Trek Prodigy is a children's show. So, but anyway, it'll also be, of course, on the all-inclusive feed. So if you get our normal Star Trek podcast now, you will be getting the Prodigy podcast, and you don't have to do anything. And if you don't, you want to, you're curious, you have different ways of getting it now. But I believe I'm going to be on the first episode. Depends on whether or not we can make that work. But I'm hoping to be, and then I'll definitely be taking a step back. And then after that, Star Trek Discovery comes back on the 18th of November, and that's when Ruthie and I will be podcasting on Discovery. So for several weeks here, the Star Trek podcast feeds will be getting two podcasts a week, one for Prodigy and one for Discovery. So, but anyway, the Patreon for the Discovery and Picard and Lower Decks podcasts and all that is patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. So as low as $1 per month, much like this podcast does, you can get the episodes ahead of time. So in a less edited, although I need to take some pointers from Kyle, because I've been struggling with that a little more than you did. I had one really great week where I got it out way, way, way faster, and then I crashed and burned after that. So
but anyway, I don't do very much editing. So
yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, there've been a few episodes where I had to do a lot of editing, so I couldn't. Yeah. Required editing even stuff that I couldn't let out the way it was, even it was. Yeah. So including right. Some things that needed to be beeped out. So anyway, so our next episode will be covering Fear the Walking Dead season 7 episode 3 titled Cindy Hawkins. That is written by Nick Bernardone and Jacob Pinion, and directed by Ron Underwood. And the description from AMCPlus.com is as follows. Dory and June make the best of Teddy's bunker until its history is uncovered. That sounds very ominous.
Oh, I have a suspicion about
that. Yeah, of course. Well, it's Teddy's bunker. What else do you need to know?
There you go.
World Beyond will be covering the Season 2, Episode 5, and I have no idea how to pronounce this, but I'm going to try. Quatervois, written by Ben Sokolowski and directed by Heather Capiello, and the description from AMCPlus.com, as a dangerous plan is put into motion, more revelations come to light. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
This is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.